Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to Bert and Benicia. Hi, Bert. Thanks for calling Willie and Dibby.
Oh, feeling good, man. Let me check a few boxes for you, Mark. Number one, I'm very excited for some Warrior playoff basketball. Anytime you get to watch the greatness that is Steph Curry is a treat. I got a 7-year-old son, took him to his first game this year. I want him to watch as much Steph Curry as he possibly can until he retires. Number two, give me the yin and yang of Steph and Jimmy, someone who is hungry, who is motivated, who complement each other as the duo in the West. Of course, I'm going to take Steph over anyone else. And number three, as our homie Lo Neal used to say, same church, same pew on JK and Kerr. It is not Kerr's job to motivate Jonathan. He's been here long enough. He's been around Steph, around Draymond. He should know the system. He should have the basketball IQ and acumen to know where he's supposed to be on the court, when he's supposed to be there for defensive rotations. And offensively, he should at least know what is asked of me and how I can help the team. When you see Gary Payton, when you see Dee Santos, when you see Moses Moody, guys who we would say do have less talent but seem to have what's right there in the middle of their chest, have heart, and are into it, that is what drives, I think, a fan crazy looking at Kuminga, who has the talent but just doesn't either have the heart, doesn't have the acumen to pick up the system and play within the system with the people who are there. There's just something there there's no motor to him. I want to see, like Draymond said, an angry Kuminga come out and be a difference maker, even if it's just defensively. Because if you have him and Gary Payton and Draymond on the court together, you're going to have three guys that should be able to just shut people down. And I want to see that. As a fan, I want to see that.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's a low nihilism.
Yeah.
Thanks, follow Bert. Up with the same church, same pew.
I actually don't, you know, the one thing that I this slight adjustment on what Bert's saying from my perspective, I don't think this is that much about effort. I really don't. I don't think, sometimes when we're talking about this, it sounds to me like people think JK dogs it. I don't think this is about effort. I think it's about two things. Two things and two things only. I don't think Kuminga, at age 22, is a great on-court decision maker yet. I don't think he is. And then the other thing that no one can argue, he's just not that good of a shooter. And on this team, if you're going to play that spot, you have to be able to knock down a three. And since he came back from his injury, he is 6-for-35 from three-point range. Can't have it. You can't have it right now. There's just no room for it in a must-win game. There may be room for it in the Houston series. I hope that there is. He's very athletic. They may need him in this matchup, and I would expect him to be ready because that's what a professional is asked to do. But I don't think it's an effort thing. I just don't think he makes great decisions and he doesn't knock down shots.
Well, I don't know if effort is the word I would use. The word I would use is intangibles, because if you look at the rotation, the starting lineup is now set with Moody and Pods in the big three. And then you get into your bench, and your bench is going to be GP2 for sure. It's going to be Buddy Buckets. Hope you're making them. If you are making them, you'll play more than 12 minutes. If you're not, well, you're going to get 12 minutes to ply your trade. And I do think that Quentin Post, the way he shoots, is now in that eight-man rotation.
I agree.
Now you get down to players 9 and player 10. And if you have Kavon and Gee and Kuminga, and you're looking for what? What are you looking for? You're looking for that je ne sais quoi from that player. You're looking for hustle plays, rebounding, pick setting, putbacks, defensive acumen, and all the rest of it. And JK's best attributes are, I can score, I've got the ha-ha, I can rim run, I can elevate, I can defend, but these things are already boxes that are checked. And so when you get down to player 8, player 9, and player 10, and you're looking for those things, that's not what JK does best.
Yep.
And so that for me is what this is all about. It's not about the person or the doghouse or a grudge or his development or the rest of it. It's just about what you're looking for.
Yep.
And what you're looking for is like, it's kind of Gee Santos in a nutshell.
Gee Santos. I mean, in a way, yeah, Gee Santos makes it so that you can go to him, not even because it's like, if I said to you, what does Gee do well? Nobody's going to come up with a basketball thing. You're just going to say, well, he just goes crazy out there. He just goes crazy. But that leads to plays. Sometimes it leads to fouls. There are times where it leads to a turnover. But more often than not, what it leads to is that guy's going to get me a loose ball. That guy's going to get me a rebound. That guy's going to create another shot for Steph Curry or Jimmy Butler. That guy's going to create another shot for Steph Curry or Jimmy Butler. And that's what this team is looking for this time of year. Look at their point. Look at the box score last night. They scored 75 of the 121 points. Like, that's it. That's all this team wants. More shots for Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry. Draymond shot one last night, told the story of how Steph kindly walked over to him and said, how about not do that right now? Because I'm Steph Curry. Let's have me shoot. And then he shot twice, and then the Warriors moved on to the playoffs.
Right.
Like, that's...
And I was looking at the play-by-play.
That's all there's room for right now.
And the one that he's talking about was with about 7:30 to go. Because Draymond shot 2 threes in the fourth quarter. The second one he shot was with 1 second on the shot clock, and that couldn't have been the one.
Right.
But I'm looking at the one where they're down one. Jaren Jackson Jr. hit that three. Memphis took its final lead of the game. And Curry misses. And then Memphis misses. And next trip down with about 12 on the shot clock, Draymond gets it in the corner. And it's an open three.
No, yeah, it wasn't.
February, it's a good three.
Absolutely.
It's a great February three. It's April 15th. He shoots it, he misses it, and then, you know, you get it back and there's a foul, Butler free throws, whatever, and then Steph eventually hits another three shortly thereafter. But that's the three that I think Steph was talking about, like, yo, dog.
I think you're right, because it also, that to me was as nerve-wracking of a moment as the game held, which is Memphis has the lead and the ball. Oh, crap.
Right.
If they go up by four, and how much time did you say was left?
When Draymond shot that three, it was 7:41 to go.
No. We're not doing two score leads in the as we move toward the 6 or 7 minute mark left to go in the season. No, we're not doing that. Thank God they got a defensive stop, and that's when every time stuff like that happens, that's when you can tell Jimmy's like, "We're gonna go get a foul. We're gonna go get a foul right now."
Yep.
That's about enough of that.
We're gonna slow this thing down.
That's right. It's what he's so good at.
Yeah.
Every time the Warriors are like, dude, please, please score. Jimmy's just like, watch this. I'm gonna get somebody to slap my arm or not.
Yep.
And I'm gonna go to the line and we're gonna get a couple here.
And the thing that preceded the Draymond three that made me a little nervous is Limpy McLimperson, who
Ja Morant.
And he was really hurt. Like,
oh yeah,
that was a legitimate, and that ankle turned. I'm so glad that they went to the monitor and saw that it was Ja, because Ja splayed his legs out into Buddy Hield. Buddy didn't like stagger into him, and so that was not a flagrant, and they rightly did not call it as such. But
still called it a foul, though. He still went to the line.
Yeah, and I think that the foul was not on the fact that he landed on his foot.
Yeah, I don't know when it was. You're probably
all I know
right.
Is the ankle was really bad, yep. And then he comes in, and it's like, oh, look at Ja. He's back. And then immediately, whoop, step back, 15-footer, and I'm like, oh, no, not this guy.
That play made me so mad because I'm like, look, I think as they got into the fourth, Ja was able to still drive a little bit,
yep.
But in that moment, he wasn't. And I'm like, why are you sagging off of Ja? He can't go by you. He can't walk. And they let him shoot an outside jumper.
That was Clinton, like, yep.
Get in his face. In the face.
Posting that drop coverage. Yeah. He's trying to sag back
Clinton,
a little bit.
Clinton is a ton of fun. And sometimes on defense, I'm like, you're new here, aren't you? You're new. And he is. Kumar in Ukiah. Hi, Kumar. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to, when you were talking about, you know, digging your toes into the carpet at the hotel room, a sense of relief today. I just wanted to mention, as a tax preparer who is also a Warriors fan, yesterday being tax day, today is probably the most relieved I've ever felt in my life. So I share that with you times 100. Love the show. Keep it going. Let's go, Warriors.
Kumar, thanks. Yeah. And you did
how many
it.
Extensions, you, Kumar, you had
exactly,
to file.
Kumar. Kumar's like, we're done. And the half of America's like, we just getting started.
Exactly.
Nobody does anything on time ever, anymore, ever. Nothing.
Well,
nothing.
And shout out to my wife. We've already gotten our refund.
Look at
because
you.
Because she insists. I'm a classic April 15th guy.
I'm like an April 1st-er.
April 15th, yeah, 1999, I was playing adult league basketball and I tore my ACL and I hadn't yet filed. And so that was an extension year.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
That works.
I paid some late fees that year.
Most extensions, though, come from the fact that this is, I think the human brain always thinks you're about to be rich soon. I just think that's the way people's brains think. You know what? I know that I can't pay this now, but August, oh baby, I'm gonna have all kinds of dough in August, and then August gets here,
right?
And you're like,
So I used to owe $1,000, now I owe $1,180. One 888 tax deal,
payment plan.
Call my guy.
Yeah. Anyway,
call Mosky.
Happy tax day. I hope it went well for everybody. Let's go to Rich in Fremont. Hi, Rich.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, this is just really a feeling today. Hats off to Steve Kerr and the coaching staff and also them Golden State Warriors. They pulled it out, and they pulled it out when they needed to pull it out. And we are no longer in the play-in. We are in the playoffs, baby. Let's go. I'm loving this. They got it done. Doesn't matter how, doesn't matter when. What matters is that they got it done. So no negativity. Accentuate the positive. They got the W. Let's go, Warriors.
Let's
make
this.
A run.
Yeah, Rich, I love it. I hope that everybody did take a moment. I did today. And just look back. Like, look back at where we were from the 12-3 start to then going through a period of many weeks where they just were not a very good basketball team. And then the angst over who they were going to trade for. And Kevin Durant, remember we were sitting right next to each other when Shams comes out and is like, turns out Kevin Durant hates Golden State.
Oh, God.
He's not coming. And everyone's like, oh, my God, they're going to get no one. And it felt like Steph's career was slipping through everyone's fingers. And you were 25-25 or whatever the hell they were at that moment. And then the Butler trade. And that had its own set of opinions. Mine was not perfect by any stretch.
None of ours was.
Yeah, not thrilled. Did not think that was the perfect move. And boy, was I wrong. And then all of a sudden, he shows up. And then I'll never forget the first half at Chicago. And you're like, this is the Jimmy Butler Warriors? They stink. I hate this even more now. And then he put his cape on at halftime against Chicago. And they've lost single-digit games since then. And at that moment, any one of us would have honestly taken any playoff spot, especially any playoff spot that's not number 8, because everyone knew all year that Oklahoma City was so powerful. You just wanted to be in the rest of the group. Was it perfect? No. Was last night scary? Yes. But are we here? Yeah, man, they did it. They did it. So now I'll never forget Steve Kerr's comment. We've got to give Steph that at bat. Well, step to the plate.
Yep.
You did it.
You did it. And you're the second 7 seed in 30 years to be favored over the 2 seed in the first round. The last team to do it, the Lakers in 2021, they lost the series.
Did they?
4-2.
Oh, listen.
I'm doing a deep dive on 7 and 8 seeds who win in the first round. Okay. I'll have that for you at some point. And we could talk about throughout the rest of the week the likelihood is not very likely that a 7 or an 8 wins, but the ones that do win, it's an interesting matchup. It's an interesting case. The last one to do it was Jimmy Buckets.
Oh, God.
As an 8.
Of course.
Over Milwaukee.
Of course.
They won that series in 5.
In 5 games. Yeah,
in 5.
No, they dominated.
It happens, but it doesn't happen that often.
No, listen, if I'm going to be an objective observer, and I'm not because I'm a Warrior fan, but right. I would.
You can try.
I would think that if a gambler were looking for value going into any NBA series that's about to start, you would put your dough on the Rockets. To get a 2 seed and get juice, that much juice in your favor?
Yep.
That's pretty rare.
It is. And the other interesting one is Clippers in Denver, because I believe that it Denver flipped. Opened as the favorite and it flipped to the Clippers. So
100%.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I remember Sunday night, Ephraim and I had a big conversation about it on Fox. I was what? Like, dude, I completely expect the Clippers to win that series. And I now wish that I jumped on that number right when it came out.
Yeah,
Clippers, I jumped on it.
Yeah, the Clippers, good for you. What'd you get it at?
Like plus 130.
Yeah. Yeah, congratulations.
Not a huge number, but no, now it's minus 125
yeah,
or so,
like,
right?
I just think they're a better team. Like end of analysis, they're better. They're just better than Denver. Jokic is a problem, but dude, the Clippers are so, like, they've got legit experienced playoff performers. And they're just a better basketball team. I don't think it's close.
I think it's close.
Ah.
For me, the big variable is Kawhi Leonard and him being available to play. I mean, because he does get injured. No. But the way he's playing, and you add in Harden and Zubats, I do think that the Clippers are a team matchup-wise. They match up very well with the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, Zubats and Jokic. That's a lot of huge white man right there in the middle of that series.
Yep. So to give Warriors just a brief glimpse of hope, just 2 years ago, the Lakers as a 7, Miami as an 8, they both made the conference finals.
Crazy. Crazy.
Unheard of, actually.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Morgan.
Come on. It's so scary.
Morgan and Morgan Hill, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
I'm just so excited and relieved after that game last night, and I have just a few comments. One, you know, the more I see Jimmy Butler, the more and more respect I get for him as a player every single game. It's hard to kind of get a sense of a player when you don't see him day in and day out. But now that we see Jimmy Butler every game since he's been here, I mean, the poise, the calmness, composure with the ball, his ability to sense the moments in the games when he should make the right pass or be aggressive, and when he talks to the refs, he's never demonstrative and he's always in control. I just gained so much respect for him. I was thinking about that game, the Warriors, they really know how to make it a nail biter with all the clutch games. And I was thinking about those two fouls that the refs called, the one against Pods when he had that block and then the one against Looney late. And I was thinking about another fallacy of the brain. You know, Willard, you mentioned, you know, people think they're going to get rich. Well, another fallacy of the brain is, you know, when you think you see something is supposed to be something, your brain fills in the rest. So, like, an analogy is when you see a word, but the letters in the middle of the word are mixed up a little bit, but your brain pieces it together to know the right word. I feel like that's what happens when refs see certain plays, and it's just something that's unfixable. But anyhow, really looking forward to this Rockets series. Can't wait to see.
Yep, Morgan, great call. And I agree with him. And you and I both agreed on this, I think. If Draymond Green blocks that shot, it's not called.
Yeah.
But it's Pods.
It's star bias.
Yeah.
And we know this in the league.
Yeah.
And that's why we wanted to avoid the Lakers and Luka and LeBron, because Houston's not going to get that same star bias whistle.
And Pods is begging. One time, Steve, I'm going to ask Steve Kerr this at 5:30. Will you ever just review a Pods? I know he had no review at that point. He had no challenge. But will you ever just review a Pods play just because? Pods been asking for him for 4 months.
Begging.
Can you please review one of my? And Steve's like, I don't care. Shut up. Go away.